Good morning, everybody. Going to talk today about the authority of God's Word. And I think it'd only be appropriate every week, but especially today, that if we didn't have any distractions from the Word of God, and I appreciate everybody standing for the scripture reading today, just to show respect and honor of God's Word. This is a topic today that we're going to look at today and next week. I don't think we're going to be able to finish today. It's going to be probably a two-parter. But this is an issue that we have to embrace before we even study God's Word. It's the fact of the authority of God's Word. And the scripture that we read, that Garfield read this morning, was from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And these are not just words that Paul wanted his beloved Timothy to be aware of. They are for us also. And Paul is making sure that Timothy understood this concept. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is actually God breathed. It is not, John and Isaiah and David and Paul wrote these down. No, it is given by God. It was God breathed. Man wrote it down, but it is from God. And just like the worlds were created, God spoke the world into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the power of His Word, is when He says something, it is done. That's in the Bible how the Word of God was started out, was with the creation. And here in 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. There is a big discussion out there in the religious world right now that truth is relative. Truth for us today is different than people, truth of our grandparents' generation. That doctrine changes, that truth in different times. Well, that was talking about those people way back then. Paul is saying that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine is a set of beliefs that we live by. And the Word of God that's from God, it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof, to prove things, the evidence that you can gain the evidence to prove something. It is profitable for correction, using the Word of God for correction. Not us, not me. I don't go to Brother Scott and say, Brother Scott, you've got to do this or that because I want you to. You know, Brother Chris doesn't come to me and say, I want you to do this because I think you should. It is profitable for correction. That we can go to each other, brothers and sisters, for correction by God's standards. not by ours. We make God's standards our standards, but that the Word of God is profitable for that, that we can correct and improve and be better because of God's Word. For instruction in righteousness. And that's one of the reasons that we are here today, is to be instructed on how to be righteous in God's eyes. To be seen by God as righteous, obedient children. The Word of God is profitable for that. That we can become better people. Because we can become better Christians, righteous in God's eyes because of it. And why? Because the man of God, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is what the Word of God does for us. And we're going to look at the authority of God's Word. In 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter says, knowing this first, and he's talking about the Scriptures, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. How many times have you heard somebody, maybe in a Bible study, maybe you're trying to convince them, of the Bible and to be saved, and they come up with, well, that's your interpretation. That's your opinion. No, Peter's saying it's not up to private interpretation. It's... And he goes on to say, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What we have as the Bible, it just wasn't the opinion of men. It just wasn't people getting together and writing things down the way they want. They were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Peter also said in referencing different teachers, such as Paul, he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Peter hits it right on the head here, that a lot of people, when they run across something that they don't understand, they'll throw the baby out with the bathwater, and, well, I don't understand it, so that invalidates everything. I don't know how many times I've read a passage and then I get it. Then I get it. Just because it's there and I didn't understand it doesn't invalidate it. I finally soaked into the hard head. And then it clicked. He says, unstable people will twist the Scriptures. The world is full of denominations that will take bits and pieces and not the whole of God's Word. And they will twist and turn, and it says, to their destruction. A bit of Scripture, parts of it, pieces and parts. We're told to observe all. Observe all. I think, I don't know, months ago, Dickie brought up the question in Bible class. You know, we were talking about something, and it says all. what's all? All's all. We need to observe all of God's commandments. In Leviticus, the concept goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Are we still bound by the Old Testament? No. The concepts of the Old Testament are as alive for us today as they ever were. We don't adhere to the commandments of the Mosaic Law, but the concept behind it we do. In Leviticus, the Lord told Moses, he says, "Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord." That's a pretty powerful statement right there. That is a pretty powerful statement that God is saying, I want you to observe all of my commandments. You observe all the statutes that I give you. All those judgments. But not only just observe them, and perform them. In Sunday morning Bible class, we've been studying the book of James. And one of the big themes is living up to our proclamation as a Christian. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't act one way and say another. Don't have that attitude, do as I say, not as I do. Jesus condemned people like that, called them hypocrites. And the Lord is telling Moses, I not only want you to observe my commands, I want you to do them, amen, to perform them. And he ends it up, I am the Lord. To drive that point home, this is why that we need to observe these. In Revelation, we go from early in the Old Testament to the last book of the Bible. The concept is the same. The concept is the same. The Lord is saying here in Revelation, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God is saying, I don't want you to add anything, and I don't want you to take anything away. I want you to do what I've said. Adding to. Everywhere we look, we see this concept of people adding to. Usually, the base foundation of it is man's desires. When we look out and just take a drive in our community and we see so many denominations, a lot of those denominations were started out of man's desires. Man's desires. Their wants. I want. I think. I feel. In my opinion, we want this instead of God's standards. Naaman is the foremost example of this. He was wanting to be cleansed of leprosy. And he inquires. He goes and inquires, what do I need to do to be cleansed of this leprosy? He was told what to do. But it seemed like that wasn't good enough for him. And there in 2 Kings chapter 5, he's told what to do, And he's saying to himself, and I love the King James, and I think the American Standard Version says, behold, I thought. New King James Version says, I said to myself. I like that, behold, I thought. But I thought it should be done this way. I was told to go wash in the Jordan River. Well, behold, I thought, wouldn't these two other rivers, the Pharpar and the Abana, wouldn't they be better rivers to do? He inquired about how to be cleansed of leprosy. He was told what to do, but that wasn't good enough. When he did it God's way, he was cleansed. Galatians 1, the book of Galatians was a letter to the churches of Galatia from Paul, correcting them on doctrine. And there was a lot of people that were wanting to still adhere to the law of Moses. That if a Gentile became a Christian, these former Jews that are now Christians, they're wanting them to be circumcised in addition to be baptized. You still need to adhere to the law of Moses because we're God's special people. They were teaching people that, and Paul had to correct them. And he says in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul had founded those churches, and he's telling them, I'm surprised. I marvel that you're turning away so soon. It hasn't been that long. You're turning away from Christ. You're following things that you're not supposed to. You're adding to things that God didn't want you to do. In Matthew 15, Jesus addresses the same issue. He says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus is saying, you come and you're worshiping me. You say, oh, we love you, Jesus. But you're not doing the things that I say to do. You're adding things that I never intended. You're putting requirements on people, teaching commandments of men that never were from God. Then there's the takeaway. There in Revelation, we're told not to add to, but we're also told not to take anything away. You know, I understand. I get why people do. Because there's a lot of harsh teachings. There are a lot of uncomfortable issues to have to deal with, to adhere to be obedient to. There are a lot of inconvenient things that we have to adjust our lives to fit to the Word of God. There are some harsh things that, to be an obedient child of God, that we have to do or not do. Some hard teachings to live up to. And some people, let's just take it out. Let's not adhere to it. Let's change the rules so it is easier. And we can't have that attitude. We as Christians, the world does this to fit into their scheme of things. In 2 Timothy, this is again Paul talking to Timothy, says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. If it's not enough coming from Paul, if you're Timothy and you're reading this letter, words from Paul are strong enough. But he throws in, and before God and the Lord Jesus, who are going to judge the living and the dead. To put the icing on the cake, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. We're not supposed to take things away. Preach the things when it's in season, when it's expected. I'll tell you, other than the fact of sometimes being scared to death and getting up in front of people and speaking, this is easy. Because you've all come here to hear the Word of God. The tough ones are sometimes across a kitchen table from somebody. Those are sometimes the harder times to preach. When it's in season and when it's out of season. When it's not convenient. Sometimes when you have to preach things that aren't easy to hear. Paul is telling Timothy, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You convince. You convince them of the truth of God. You rebuke them. That's tough to do. For a person to go to another person and to rebuke them makes it really hard if you're trying to bring your standards. But if you're going by God's standards, you don't have anything to worry about. Exhort. Build up. Encourage. And how do you do that? With all long-suffering and teaching. Not get fed up that they don't get it the first time. What don't you understand about it? It's right there in black and white. I don't know what to tell you. Why don't you get it? We don't do that with our kids, teaching them to ride a bike. What do you mean you fell down? Oh, it's useless. You're on your own, kid. I told you what to do, and it didn't work. Just throw your hands up. And he goes on to say, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to be a time coming. Timothy, you need to preach the word. Because a time's going to come where people will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There's going to be a time when people won't listen to sound doctrine, but they will surround themselves with people to tell them what they want to hear. But Timothy, you preach the word. You don't add anything. You don't take anything out. Because it's the word of God. And in closing, we see this concept in the Old Testament with Isaiah. It says, who say to the seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. The world is full of people that want to hear the smooth things. Oh, everybody wants to hear about the love of God. Everybody wants to hear about the sacrifice Jesus made for us. But obedience, altering your life to adhere to the Word of God, some of those harsh teachings that you cannot continue doing this and be a faithful child of God, that you cannot continue doing that. Or relationships, things like that. Don't take away, don't add to. Next week, we're going to get into, when we do study the Bible, kind of the authority and how to get into that. This was not the steps of salvation, of how to become a Christian. This lesson was more for Christians to maintain their Christianity, to maintain their faith. We never like to leave an assembly without offering that opportunity for somebody that believes in Jesus to become a Christian by putting their Lord on in baptism. If you've studied the Word of God or would like to study further, please see one of us and we will be glad to study with you. If you're to that point that you realize you need to put your Lord on in baptism, the time is perfect. Brother Hugh has made sure that there's water in the baptistry. I'd appreciate that. I'd hate to go back there. Somebody want to be baptized, pull off the cover, and there's no water in there. Brother Hugh's seen that there's water back there. If you need prayers of the congregation, this church, this congregation cares about each other. Sometimes members come to each other and ask for private prayers. Sometimes we ask for public prayers for each other. If you need prayers, please let us know. If you would like to identify, if you've been looking for a church home and would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. If you have sin in your life, and if there's something between you and God keeping you from serving effectively, and you need to repent of those sins, please do. There's no better time than right now. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward, let your needs be known, while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.